Thank you so much, Hannah. We're going to look in 3 John. We've been going first through 1st, 2nd, and now 3rd John, and this will finish up our series in of the epistles of John tonight, Lord willing. And so 3rd John, and we're going to read the 14 verses that's in 3rd John, and then take some time and look at each verse. It says, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou dost faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that he is his namesake, they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles, and therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers of the truth, unto the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself, yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto you thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name." And so what a great book here, John, as he finishes up his epistles in talking to this man and writing to the church and confirming their relationship that they had together based on truth. And so John, the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John can be compared as far as what is the theme or the focus of each of those books. And you can see in your notes there, 1st John would be known for "My life in God equals salvation." And it was John chapter 5 and verse 13 where John gives us a great verse of assurance that we can know that we're saved by trusting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And so my life in God assures me of the fact that I've been saved, I've been born again, and I'm secure in my relationship through all eternity because of that great salvation. But 2 John, as we went through 2 John, we can sum it up as "my life with God equals fellowship." And certainly our fellowship with one another is based on our fellowship with Jesus Christ. And how precious it is to be able to know that we can walk with God each and every day. We can experience the closeness of God and the blessings of God each and every day in our life. And so it would equal our fellowship. And in my Bible class today, I was focusing on some of that as far as our young people, just try to encourage them with the reality that God is real and you need to experience the presence of God every day in your life. And many times young people drift to the side and fall by the wayside because they don't develop that real experience of knowing that God is with them each and every moment of the day, and they need to develop that. Well, John helped us to understand that in 2 John, that our life with God equals fellowship. Our fellowship with God and our fellowship with each other. And now in 3 John, we can summarize 3 John by "my life for God equals service. And when God saves us, he doesn't save us to sit still. He saves us to serve him. And the great thing of going through the book of Philippians, we were studying that today in Bible class, and the amazing thing is the spirit of servitude that is presented in that book. Timothy and Epaphroditus both were great servants of God. The Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated what service was as he would lay down his life for us that we might be saved. Jesus said he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And the amazing thing is a person's life in Christ is about service. And each one of us have different gifts and talents and abilities, and we're to use them for the glory of God. And so John, the third John, helps us to understand that. John is going to mention three men in this little book of only 14 verses. And two of the men he mentions is in a positive light. One of them that he mentions is in a very negative light. And so he's revealing, as the Apostle Paul would do, Paul would reveal that there were those that did him much harm. And he would warn those that talk contrary to what those scriptures say, and that you need to mark them who teach contrary to the doctrine of Christ. And as Paul would give great warnings of that, John also gives great warnings about the error of this one brother in the Lord who had gone astray. And so let's consider some things tonight as we go through this chapter. First of all, he starts off with a delightful brother in verses 1 through 8. Verse 1, he says, the elder, so he identifies himself who he is. He's the mature one. He is the apostle. He is the one who is writing not just out of experience, but out of authority also. And so he says, the elder unto the beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. And so notice there's a very tender appreciation that is expressed to Gaius. He said that he loved him in the truth. In verse 2, he follows up, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. And so his appreciation for Gaius went beyond just a superficial type of relationship, but he's acknowledging the fact that he wanted him to be blessed beyond just spiritual blessings. He wanted him to be blessed in the area of physical health. He wanted him to be blessed in the area of financial increase. He said that he desired for him to prosper. In verse 5, he mentions again, beloved. He says that over and over again in reference to Gaius. Beloved, thou dost faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. And then in verse 11, he tells his beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. And he tells us why. He that doeth good is of God, and he that doeth evil hath not seen God. And so this whole acknowledgement in these verses in reference to his relationship with Gaius is one of appreciation. And I think sometimes that we forget that we ought to express appreciation for each other. We ought to acknowledge our appreciation of brothers and sisters in Christ who are faithful, who are living their life for God. They're trying to be a testimony for Christ. They're walking in the truth. It would be well for us to at least tell them, hey, I appreciate your life. I appreciate what you're doing, and express our love one for another. We're quick to express our displeasures, but it seems like we have a hard time expressing our thanksgiving and our praise of those that we love in the faith. So there's a tender appreciation that he shows towards Gaius. Notice in verse 2, we kind of shift gears a little bit in verse 2, there's a timely aspiration. In other words, what he's desiring to take place. He wants something to happen in Gaius's life. And we really should have a spirit that we want God to do something, not just in our lives, but other people's lives. And so he has great aspirations for Gaius. First of all, he desires for him to have financial blessings. and that thou mayest prosper. He's talking about financial blessings. We're going to look up some of these verses and go through some of them tonight. But in Psalm 1 is a psalm that acknowledges God's blessings on mankind. It says in Psalm 1 in verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So there is a disclaimer put there. It's not, well, God's going to bless everybody no matter how they live. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We're living in an era and time in Christian history where people are teaching that because you're a Christian, you're secure in Christ, you can go wherever you want to go, you can do whatever you want to do, you can identify with whoever you want to identify, all these different things that defile a man, and we expect God to bless us. Well, that's not what the scripture presents. In verse 2, he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And so the desire is to be able to experience the blessings of God to where we prosper. And I'm not a health, wealth, and prosperity preacher, but I do believe that God prospers us. And I do believe that God will reward us for our labors and our love for him and our commitment to one another. Psalm 37 in verse 25 says, I have been young and now I'm old. I never could identify with that verse years ago, but now I can. Amen. I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And the amazing thing is, and so I tried to challenge our young people in Bible class today that, you know, there's been a lot of things my wife and I have experienced over the years and in our life as a Christian, but I can tell you this, God has never abandoned me. God has always taken care of me. We've always ate. We may not have ate what we wanted to eat, amen. When we were hungering for a steak, we had to eat popcorn, but that's all right. And God always takes care of us, and he always provides for us. And so John's desire for Gaius, as he aspires to his relationship with God and the outcome in his life, he said, I want you to be blessed. I want you to prosper. That'll really be the heartthrob of every believer. We want God to bless each one of us, that each of us may prosper and be able to see the blessings of God moving upon us. So financial things is a sign of the blessings of God in the area of prosperity. But he goes beyond that. He says, and be in good health. So physical prosperity. You know, prosperity is more than money. Prosperity is having good health, knowing that God has strengthened you and blessed you and enabled you to be able to continue on in your life. Proverbs chapter 3 in verse 1 and 2, God giving us good health. And I'm thankful for good health. I praise the Lord for that. I don't take that for granted. I've seen a lot of people go through. I've been in a lot of hospital visits. I've been with a lot of people that have gone through a lot of things physically, health-wise, that are a whole lot younger than I am, and I praise God that he gives me good health. And we need to depend on God to keep our bodies strong so that we might be able to live and serve him. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 says, my son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. And then he tells us why. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Years ago, a fellow in my home church, one of the deacons down there, was a godly man who really loved the Lord, and what a soul winner he was. He got cancer, had cancer all through his body, and we prayed. I didn't pray over him, but my pastor and the deacons anointed him with oil and prayed over him for God to heal him. God chose not to heal him. Through the process of dying with cancer, he led multitudes of people to Christ. Nurses, aides, doctors. I mean, he came in contact with so many people that he was able to lead people to Christ. And they would come to him and tell him, you know, you've got to be in pain. With the type of cancer you have, you've got to be in pain. It's all right to tell us if you're in pain. And all he would do is just sit there and smile. And he said, I'm with the Lord, and the Lord will take care of me. And he would say this, I never want to do anything that may bring a mar or discredit to the name of my Savior. And when he died, I'll tell you that my pastor's church, I mean, on big Sundays, you could fit about 600 people in there. They had so many people come to his funeral that the church was full. They had to put people in the choir loft. They had to have seats out in the foyer and out in the hallways for people to sit. And these were all professional people that he had led to the Lord through the process of dying. You say, well, that's a horrible story. No, he was an alcoholic and he was a smoker. And the abuse of his body caused him to have that cancer and everything later on in his life. And he said this, he said, I am reaping the consequences of my actions when I was not a Christian. And he said, I don't want to do anything to discredit my Lord. He would just lead people to the Lord, one right after another, after another, after another. His wife witnessed to him for many years, tried to get him saved. He wouldn't talk about it. He'd get mad about it, and he would not listen to her. So she just took the Bible and put it on the table, end table, right next to his chair, where he would sit every morning and have his coffee and read the paper or whatever. And one day he picked the Bible up and started reading it, and that's how he got saved. And I'll tell you, his life was never the same. You talk about a godly man, a man who has had a tenderness for Christ and a love for God's people. That man had it. And I'll tell you, when you talk about this matter of God's blessings, physical blessings, we can experience God's giving us longevity of life. God will use us even through sicknesses in our life to show forth his praises. And John is just acknowledging to Gaius, he said, I so love you, I so care for you, I want God's greatest blessings on you, whether it be financial blessings or whether it be good, sound health. And so his aspirations were for not financial, physical, and also for spiritual blessings. And what a blessing it is to be able to see somebody grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15 says, but speaking the truth in love, 3 John is all about truth. It's all about the truth of the Word of God. And Paul says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And so every aspect of our life is to be growing and maturing in our understanding of who God is and what his will is for us. And so he was a delightful brother. I mean, John loved this man because of the fact of how he lived for God and he cared for others. Notice in verse 3 and 4, the next thing there is letter C, is there's a theological dedication. He says, I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. See, his theological position, his theological dedication. He says, even as thou walkest in truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So theological dedication, he was committed to living in accordance with what God had so stated, and he responded to the truth of the Word of God. And John is just appreciative of the fact that he's such a dear brother. He's so dedicated to the Word. The greatest thing that we can do is to be dedicated to the Word of God. We need to read it. We need to meditate upon it because every time you pick the Bible up, you can learn something new. I've been reading this Bible for many, many, many years, and I'm going to tell you, every time I read it, I get something new out of it. I'll be up here preaching. You wouldn't know how many times I'm up here preaching, and I might read a passage, and it's like the Lord shows me something. I'm like, wow, I never saw that before. And I feel like stopping preaching and just reread over it a little bit and see what it is God wants to say to me. Every time you pick the Bible up, you can find something new for your life if you appreciate or are dedicated to the theological truths that are in the Word of God. Romans chapter 1 and verse 8. Paul says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. And John is acknowledging Gaius's commitment to truth was revealed and identified and spoken about with all the believers. He says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. And so, a delightful brother. What a blessing it is to be able to see someone have a tender love for Christ and a love for others, see God blessing and moving in their life in a great way, and that they impart to you some biblical truth. It's amazing how quickly we're wanting to impart all kinds of worldly information and knowledge. Well, how often do we impart to one another biblical principles? You just think for a minute. When was the last time when you just greeted somebody and you talked with somebody and you're fellowshipping with somebody, you shared with them something that you got out of the Word of God that blessed your heart? That's what we're supposed to be focusing on. We're supposed to be focusing on the truth of the Word of God. The truth of the Word of God ought to be impacting our lives. We ought to be able to say something that God spoke to our heart about in reading his Word, theological dedication. Notice charity towards evangelism. In verse 5, he's still talking about Gaius. And he says this, beloved, thou dost faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. And I see that his focus that he had was for Christ. He was always communicating to the brethren. He was always communicating to the strangers that he would come in contact with who the Lord Jesus Christ is. He never lost sight that people needed to hear about Jesus. And that's what people need to hear more than the political climate that we're in. I mean, every day the political climate in America gets more and more gross and out of order. I know that's it's horrifying and it's discouraging to the heart of the individual, but the answer is still Jesus Christ. Amen. And we need to make much of Jesus. Our focus needs to be on Jesus Christ. And Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The word dwell there literally means to be embedded in you, be part of who you are. Let the word of God, or word of Christ, dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Don't need to sing the world songs. We don't need to listen to the radio in our car and our CDs that are worldly songs, secular songs. We don't need to listen to any of those things. And you say, oh, I just like those types of music. They're not bringing you closer to Christ, and so they should be thrown out of your car. Now, that's a good place to say amen. Thank you, preacher. Amen. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. I remember years ago down in South Jersey, it was actually an Assembly of God church, and they really were on fire for God back then. And they experienced great revival because the teenagers in the church got convicted about their music. And the teenagers in the church had a fellowship picnic thing at the church, and they all the teenagers, not motivated by adults, not told that they had to do it, all the teenagers brought all their music and all their videos and all that garbage that's all worldly and teaches you things against God. They brought them all over and they had a bonfire at the church and they burned it all. And I'm going to tell you, revival broke out in that church. And it wasn't brought about by the preacher. And it wasn't brought about by an evangelist. And it wasn't brought about by the adults. It was brought about by teenagers who got convicted that the Word of God needed to dwell in them rather than all that garbage they were listening to. And we have completely gotten away from that, and we focus on everything else in life, and we wonder why God doesn't move. And so John, in acknowledging the faithfulness of Gaius, he's acknowledging the fact whether he was dealing with the brethren or whether he was dealing with strangers in the land, his focus was always Christ. Notice in verse 6, his opportunity was others, which, he talks about the brethren and the strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. So he's acknowledging the fact, because his focus was on Christ, then his opportunities was able to minister to others. And the amazing thing is, if we keep our walk with God right and our focus is on Jesus Christ, then the Lord will always give us opportunities to be able to minister to someone else. In Hebrews chapter 13, in verse 2, if I can get over there, I'll get over there. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2 says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Opportunities that God gives in our life, at many times we walk right past it. We miss the opportunities God gives us to minister to others. I think many times we miss opportunities for God to minister to us through ministering spirits, because we will not acknowledge the move of God, the touch of God, the presence of God in our life. And so we miss the opportunities. And so charity towards evangelism was his focus was on Christ, which created opportunities for him to minister to others. And his support is for the brethren. Verse 7, he says, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. And so this support that was for the brethren, they didn't look to the world to try to get their support. They looked to one another as they looked to God and depended upon God. In Romans 12:13 says, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given the hospitality. In 1 Peter 4:9 says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. And so we need to be supportive. We need to be hospitable. We need to do whatever we can to encourage and edify the brethren. So a delightful brother. It's great to be able to have that type of relationship when someone has a temperament that is Christ-like, delightful brother. Well, he starts to deal with a dictating brother in verse 9. Notice there's a prideful position. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. The Apostle John, you know who we're talking about? We're talking about the Apostle John. Writing to the church, and Diotrephes says, I don't want you here. We don't want to hear from you, John. He was a man that was in pride. Why? Because he was unwilling to do as others. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus addresses this as far as the Pharisees, how they were puffed up in pride. They put themselves over top of others rather than being like others. They didn't humble themselves. They were unwilling to humble themselves. And that's the problem with Gaius, the one who wanted to have the preeminence among them. You know, we are to serve one another. It is not about who is over top of someone else. It is not about who is in charge. It is not about who has the authority. We serve one another. We minister through servitude. We minister through humility. And it's not about living in our pride to where we want the recognition. That's number two. They seek the recognition of men. These Pharisees, everything they did it in a way that people could see what they were doing. It doesn't matter if anybody sees what you're doing. It doesn't matter if anyone, no one ever acknowledges what you've done. If you're doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ, don't fall into a prideful position like the Pharisees did. There were positioned, number three there, these Pharisees, according to Matthew 23, and you can read through that chapter, it kind of builds, and I laid it out for you. They positioned themselves above men. And when I first got saved, I went off to Bible college, went out and started the church. The way I kind of viewed myself, I was the pastor. I'm the under-shepherd of Christ, and I'm the one that's leading the church and heading the church up, and I was putting myself in a position above people. And I realized very quickly, God taught me that is not the position of the pastor. The pastor is to serve people. And yes, I have to take the oversight. Yes, I have to lead. Yes, I have responsibilities to have oversight of the church ministries. God has given that to the pastor, but you do it serving one another. It is not about puffing yourselves up in pride. Because I'm the Sunday school teacher, I'm the choir member, I'm the choir director, whatever it may be. You put whatever tag it is on that ministry that you fulfill and realize this, that ministry is nothing more than you in a position to serve and to help other people. And John says, man, I'll tell you this, Diotrephes, all he wanted to do was have the preeminence constantly. He always wanted the recognition. He wanted to always be above everyone else. And the problem was he lost the ability to provide proper leadership. And when we get caught up in pride, there is absolutely no way that you can lead in the area that God wants you to serve and minister properly, because pride takes over. And, these six things of the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination. The first one is a proud look, a proud look. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, I'll read it here in a minute. Romans 12 and verse 10 tells us, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. The word preferring there literally means that you're going to provide the proper leadership as a servant of Christ, as a servant of others. You're going to lead them. You can't do that if you're puffed up in pride. So prideful position. Notice in verse 10, powerful opposition. It says, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth. Then he identifies what he does, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. And so powerful opposition. How was he doing it? First of all, by false accusations. This prating against us, the word prating means to bring a false accusation. It means to make comments about someone that are not true. No substantial evidence whatsoever about the accusation. And so this man, Diotrephes, who wanted to have the preeminence, would try to maintain that position of preeminence by slandering others, by talking about others. You better watch out for gossip, because it puts you in that type of a bracket, saying things about people that you don't know, don't have all the information, and if you do know, you shouldn't be saying anything anyway. And so you keep it to yourself. So false accusations, that shows a prideful position of preeminence. But also, deliberate turmoil. It says here that he was prating against us with malicious words. The word malicious means to create turmoil, to add distress to a situation. And just some people I just have seen just want to argue all the time. I'll tell you, it's amazing. Some people, I don't care what, if you say it's a nice sunshiny day, they would say, well, what if the humidity's too high? You know, they always want to complain about something. Now you say, man, God's blessing in a great way. Man, people are coming into church. People are being saved. Yeah, well, it's getting too crowded in here. You know, I mean, some people just always are malicious with their comments. And so stop being malicious. Don't create turmoil. Rejoice in the blessings of God. The other problem is, he says, and not content therewith. So he was never satisfied. I tell you, just some people you just never can satisfy them. I don't care what you say. And I've just learned some people, I just say, well, they're never going to be satisfied, so I ain't going to worry about it. I'm just going to keep going on. Amen. He was not content. Paul said, I've learned what? To be content. And contentment is something that you learn. Because in our spirit, in our flesh, I should say, in our flesh, we always, if it's warm, we want it cooler. If it's cool, we want it hotter. If it's a food that we're eating, we want something else to eat, you know. We always want something different than what we have or what we're experiencing. Why can't we just learn to be content? God's blessings on us can put us in a position of being satisfied. Notice he was aggressively against them. He said he was casting them out of the church. And I remember a preacher years ago saying, ah, bless God, I'll tell you one thing. We had a backdoor revival at our church. You know what that means? It means he offended a bunch of people and they left the church. And he was rejoicing in the fact that they offended a lot of people and they went out of the church. I thought, boy, that's really spiritual. You're Diotrephes. That's who you are. Casting people out of the church, being aggressive against people and not caring about them growing in their faith. Powerful. Let me tell you something. A Diotrephes is very powerful. They influence a lot of people. I've seen a lot of Diotrephes over the years. And there's a multitude of people I see out of church and away from Christ, and it's because of some Diotrephes coming in the scene. Notice not only is there a prideful position and a powerful opposition, there's a positive obligation in verse 11. So John responds to this negative two verses, and he says, beloved, follow not that which is evil. He said, look, just watch out. Don't get caught up in it. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Just, we have an obligation to connect with that which is good, not connecting with that which is evil. And there's always somebody that has something negative to say about anything that is going on in the church. Don't be a part of it. Don't listen to it. They want to talk about somebody. Instead of listening to what they have to say, tell them, well, let's go talk to that person. Apparently, there's a conflict here. Well, I'll go with you and we can resolve the issue. And I guarantee you, they won't come to you with their gossip anymore when you do it, when you approach it that way. We have an obligation to disconnect with that which is evil and to hold to that which is good. Well, there's a dictating brother. What was the first one there? A delightful brother. And now there's a dependable brother in verse 12. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record. And ye know that our record is true. So a couple of things. He had a sound reputation with all. And that's what we want. 1 Thessalonians talks about the believers at Thessalonica, how they had a sound witness, a sound testimony for Christ. You read Philippians chapter 3, and it describes for us the testimony of Timothy and Epaphroditus, of their strong commitment, their loyalty to Christ, their loyalty to the Apostle Paul, their commitment to the Word of God, a sound reputation for all, a dependable brother. a solid regard for truth. And he held to the truth, and he did not turn away from the truth. And the record that was shared was that he was one who was always holding on to the truth. And then there was a satisfying report. And John said, wait a minute, I'm not only just trusting your report that he was committed to the truth, but I'm telling you, I'm adding to it. I have a good report to acknowledge that he was committed to the truth. And so a dependable brother, that's what we need to do. We need to be just faithful believers in Christ, satisfied with Christ, solid in our commitments to the truth of the Word of God, and demonstrating and living out a sound, profitable, good report to all, whether they be in the church or whether they be outside of the church. Then John concludes in verse 13 and 14. Notice he had a desired presence to be with them. He said in verse 13, I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee, but I trust I shall shortly see thee. He had a desire to be in their presence. And how we need a desire to be with brothers and sisters in Christ. And then there was a fulfilled fellowship. He says, we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. And so that whole thing of socializing, hospitality, acknowledging the fact that our Christian life is fulfilled and blessed by each other. Christianity is not fulfilled and blessed by being disconnected with the church, being disconnected with the brethren. It is fulfilled and enjoyed through a connection and fellowship that we have one with another. So what a great little book there. Only 14 verses, a lot of cross references I didn't have a chance to read, but be sure to look them up, do a little study yourself, and just see what John is unfolding for us in living out our Christian life, walking in the truth. And that's the greatest thing that we can do. And God will bless us.